This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Greetings, I am Barry. If you're searching for answers, spiritual help, clairvoyant readings, healings, crystals, books, incense, or jewellery, you need to go to Infinity, Hamilton Spiritual Centre, in the new premises at 550 Anglesey Street. Or you can phone us on 838 1838. This is your link between this life and the next. Become the change the world needs today.
The Voice Within, your connection between this world and the next. Brought to you by Infinity Spiritual Centre, 550 Anglesey Street, Hamilton.
So, Michael Sanders, who's from Inspire Nation show, was talking to Lee Harris, and what came out was the world isn't falling apart. Lee Harris reveals what's really happening.
This is not the interview I expected. I expected to do an interview on the Z's about 2026, but instead what happened is the connection was broken, the feed was cut, they were silenced. But what came out of this was something even more profound that we desperately need to hear. So here's the truth about 2026.
So when I did my annual energy forecast for 2026, which is the year of energetic reorganization, you know, I'm given themes intuitively about what we're experiencing and why and how. And every month I report on the monthly themes. But when you do a year, it gives you a different way of looking at things. And one of the things that really struck me about this year is in some ways I feel like we've all been aware that the world is not what it used to be for many years. I would say that 2016 was a big change for the world, and then 2020 was a big change for the world in terms of pivotal moments where almost the ground starts to change underneath your feet. And I remember when I was doing the energy update for January, the month of January this year, there was a big message early on about a lot of political shifts, a lot of shifts in leadership, shocking events, difficult events, corrupt events happening, and that this would happen very early on in January. And usually, in my experience, although not so much last year and this year, January is often a quieter month, but it feels like we hit the ground running with the energy themes that we're going to see playing out through this year, which is we the people asking, what is this system we are in? How has this been happening for this long? There's a lot of wake up in the mainstream around the shock of seeing how all of this has been held together or not held together all of these years. And there's the surfacing of all of the shadowy underpinnings. So if you look at that collectively, you go, wow, we're all in this reckoning that for a lot of people, not for many of us who perhaps have been privy to this or aware of this for many years, but for many people, there is a wake up around, oh my God, we're in an abusive relationship and we didn't know. We thought we were being looked after, or we thought that our parents were fine, or we thought that, yeah, the system's not great, but it's okay. It's holding us together. And what is slowly but repetitively now happening is we are being shown and given many examples of where corruption or things that will threaten our health, the health of the planet, have been very consciously woven into our systems, not unconsciously woven into our systems, consciously. And that's the shocker. And that's the thing that can, if you're new to this kind of information, it can be devastating. I know for me in 2008, when I first started to come to awareness of some of the underpinnings of our world, it feels like someone pulled the rug out from under your feet and you feel devastated. We're currently in a period of time where increasing evidence around all of that is beginning to rise to the surface. So what people used to refer to as conspiracy theories are now becoming factual, undeniable things. I'm not saying all of them are, but you know, we always knew that conspiracy theory was a term that was created to slap a label on people who were speaking a truth that shouldn't be publicly known. So you make that person the target of being ostracized, being judged, being belittled, and therefore you create fear in the collective of associating with those people. Oh, they're crazy. Whereas what we're actually seeing right now is that some of the things that would have seemed crazy many years ago are actually being shown as truth. So you've got that on a planetary level, which on any given day, that can break your heart, it can enrage you, it can devastate you, it can make you the target of some of these corruptions. You might be someone very much who is the target of some of these inhumane or corrupt things that are happening, or your heart might be bleeding for someone who you know who is the target, or just empathically for the world at large, because most people do not want to see the world as it is. Most of us don't look at the world and go, oh, this is great. This is the planet we want to see. Most of us don't do that. The question is, will we go beyond hoping for little bits of change or little positive signs? We've gone beyond little. We've gone beyond where putting a Band-Aid on one area is going to placate all the others. So, first of all, as a human being watching the world do this, it's very destabilizing to who you thought you were.
Yeah.
When what you thought you were living in is not what you thought it was. So it's for anyone out there who has been in an abusive relationship, it's quite a shock when you realize you're in one, and you usually don't realize you're in it until a certain point. Having had a couple in my life, there's that horrible moment where you're like, oh my God, how did I find myself here? How did I miss this? What happened to me? There's a lot. But now I want to flip it to the personal. There will be many out there who perhaps this isn't your first rodeo with this information. You've known some or much of this stuff for many years. It doesn't mean you know all the details. It doesn't mean you know the names of who or what necessarily, although some names you might know. But it's more that you know that we haven't, human well-being has not been at the forefront of the agenda on this planet for a long time. And so therefore, there are those people who are going through that reckoning, but there are many others who aren't going through that reckoning. They're like, okay, well, it's just surfacing, but are perhaps becoming more motivated to be an activist of a kind. So there are some activists who will be on the front line calling out an injustice. There are some activists who will be challenging those who are creating a scenario or a circumstance that is causing punishment, suffering, degradation. Then there are the other activists, the activists who are building for the future. It's not that they're oblivious to what's going on in the present, and it's not that they're turning a blind eye or sticking their head in the sand. It's just that they may have alchemized these feelings a long time ago. It's why you have to be very mindful of anyone screaming at anyone else as to what they should be doing at a time like this. You know, there's a lot of that. You see a lot of people going, you should be speaking up about this in the way I want you to speak up about it. And it's like, that's a complete waste of your energy. If you feel that strongly about something, go and do something about it. There's a lot of blaming, and there's a lot of emotional reaction masquerading as healthy opinion, but actually it's emotional reaction, and there's nothing wrong with the fact that that is playing out. That's what's supposed to play out. But what it does call for each of us to do is to get even clearer. What do I feel? What is true for me? What is true in my own connection? What feels like a truth I have to respond to? That's what so many of us are being called to do right now. Trust our own discernment more, because things are going to be more unbelievable, more wild, more crazy than we've ever seen for a period of time. But also trust your inner knowing of, where am I meant to be? Who am I meant to be with? And what are the things I'm meant to be doing? Now, as I always say, if you are someone who is right now recovering from something, or you're overwhelmed, or you're dealing with something that's going on with you, you know, physically, that means that you aren't at your full faculties, tone everything down. You know, don't think you're supposed to save the world. You won't save the world if you are stressed and under duress. The first thing you have to do is recognize this is a stressful time. So how do you find the balance point? What makes you more regulated on a daily basis? And for you, it might mean, I just can't know about the rest of the world for 3 days. I just need to take 3 days away from all of this, because we're also not built to take in all of the information that we now can take in at speed, unfiltered every day. So it's a year of energetic reorganization on a world level, but it's having a massive personal effect on all of us, no matter how much this time isn't a surprise to you compared to some other people. As I always say, it's one thing to have known that we were coming to a time like this. It's another thing to viscerally experience it on a biological human level. You know, I get very impacted by the collective nervous system. Even though I work to maintain myself and my center, I'm also, that's part of my job. My design is that I'm here for people and I'm here for energetics. So of course, part of my job is dealing with the collective nervous system. And there are days where that is more fun than others. But I think all of us are affected by the collective nervous system. And so it's important to keep that in mind as we go through this period of time.
Thank you. It's interesting. And I know you want to get to my personal something, and I don't even know what that is, but we'll go there in just a minute. But because I was hit by a truck this summer, and because it generates a sympathetic nervous system response, we're going to call it a freak out of the nervous system, not me freaked out, but the nervous system. And there is actually a very big difference, because we are doing an interview. There is me and there is the observer of me, and I do not have to be the one that is having that freak out experience. I can appreciate it. I can anchor it. Point being, there are all sorts of tools that you can use to actually get metrics on your nervous system. So I will look at a Monday morning now and I will use all my tools, and I have a whole tool bag to ground, to center, and to get into that space. And I do it good. And yet you and I are both still feeling one hell of an energy of the planet at this time. I would add one thing, because we're all swimming in that soup. And that is, if I was coaching, I do a lot of coaching. You used to do a lot of one-on-one. If I was coaching humanity as an individual and the human beingness came to me, I would have to bite my lip right now, because I don't want to make light of anything, but I would have to bite my lip and not say, congratulations. If a coaching client comes to me and says, I'm thinking of leaving this relationship, and I always want them to hang in there because I don't want them to repeat the relationship. The very fact that they're telling me this, their partner is already out the door. I'm thinking of leaving a job and their partner is already out the door. And of course they call me and they say they left me the job. And I'm like, this is what you need for the next step. This, I believe, is what humanity on a personal and collective level needs, with such kindness and care and compassion and understanding and even tears. This is actually, if we can choose to see it that way, my opinion, I want to hear yours, can be a good, if not a great thing.
Yes. And what you have to, I think, remember is there is knowing and there is experiencing. So I, in the spiritual world, one of the things I try and remind people is we can have a revelation and then we have a transformation, and they are two different things. And too often in the spiritual community, people will sit down in a revelation. They'll go, oh my God, I had a revelation about my childhood, so now I'm free. No, you had a revelation about your childhood, and that's a huge clue. And now your nervous system and your muscle memory are going to get to rewire you. And that might take 3 weeks if you're lucky and you rip the band-aid off and do some deep, fast work. Or in most cases, 3 months, 3 years, a decade. And it doesn't mean that you are chronically suffering a decade later from your childhood trauma, but it does mean that maybe 10 years later, that last little bit is ready to pop off. So I think regarding what you're saying, yes, we can zoom out and we can all do that for our own path. It's much easier to do it for someone else because you're looking at them and you're listening to them. You're not in it. So when you're looking at someone else, it's easy to zoom out. It's why it's easier for us sometimes to give friends advice than it is ourselves. We have to really learn how to give ourselves advice and develop awareness for ourselves. Not many of us were taught that. It's not as hardwired into the collective memory as giving advice to others is. So you zoom out and you see something, that's one thing, but then you kind of have to feel it as you go through it. So I think there is that moment where you can go, oh good, this that you're going through right now, I can see is going to cleanse you in such a way that it's going to create space for your future. But we can't just time jump there. Some people actually can, but they're very small in number in my experience. And they're also people who aren't that emotionally and energetically wired in their system, either because they have a different kind of emotional energetic wiring. It could be a neurodivergent form. It doesn't mean they're not emotional. It's just wired differently and it shows up for them in a different position in the energy field and they have different responses. But I think that's where we have to be really compassionate to parts of ourselves. You know, I've really, my old habit, I'm much better at this now, but I still have to keep my eye on myself in case I revert or regress. My old habit was to much prefer the revelation or the, you know, the epiphany or the kind of understanding and to not be that comfortable when transformation was hitting my body because it would not feel like I had my awareness capacities. And what I had to understand was there are times when your awareness capacities need to dim down so that you can deeply feel and that you can deeply let this come through you. And you know enough now about this process that when you've gone through this and come out the other side, it will be worth it. It's like if anyone here has ever done a cleanse, you know, I've done many varieties of juice cleanse over the last 20 years in my own life, and they work for me in certain ways. So I now know the drill. Like when I do one, I'm like, oh yeah, day three, I'm a bit emotional. Okay, that doesn't scare me. But the first time you do a juice cleanse, you hit day three and you're like, oh my God, what's this? This is a foreign feeling. So I think we've all been taught to keep our lives safe, keep things on track. Most of us weren't given a grounding in who are we as energetic beings and what is the process of transformation that we go through. And so I think what's actually happening for a lot of us, myself included, is there is a deepening going on for all of us right now, and you're getting more deeply into your life. And that will look one of a few different ways. But if we break it down into, I'm getting more deeply into who I'm here to be, that feels great. Or I'm getting more deeply into my life and oh my God, I don't like what it looks like because this does not feel right. My God, I'm gonna have to make a lot of changes. It's different for everybody, but the depth of feeling is universal. The story you have around the depth of feeling will be unique and might not be shared by everyone around you, but the depth of feeling on the planet right now is very strong.
Thank you. I want to get into the themes. I want to get into this year ahead. I want to get into all of these revelatory things. I will add one joke that's not so much of a joke, but I'm thinking back to my own near-death experiences, which, guys, we're not glorifying. I'm not glorifying near-death. It means something went wrong. But it was, you may see the big picture. You may see the totality of everything, but it's still neurons that fire together, wire together. You still have to move through everything. And I'm going to say before revelation, as you're calling it, before revelation, clean dishes, take out trash. After revelation, you're going to feel even more. Clean dishes, take out trash.
I've actually never enjoyed being domestic as much as I enjoy being domestic. Isn't that interesting? I feel like it's like the... My experience is the more you wake up to what this world is and what this world isn't, and to who you are and to accepting who you aren't, which is very important because a lot of us come in very permeable and we try on every experience or every relationship for size or, you know, I think as you get deeper with that, you do start to appreciate things in a whole new way. And it is the simple things. And you talking about your near-death experiences is perfect because I always feel like death teaches us how to live. When someone dies in your life, you get very present all of a sudden. Whether they die suddenly, which is its own shocking impact, or whether they die slowly over a period of time and you all know that that might be about to happen, it suddenly sharpens your focus. You suddenly don't care that the printer didn't work that morning. Or maybe because you're so emotional and you throw the printer out the window, you realize how angry and upset you are that this person is dying. You're like, whoa, that's not my normal reaction. What is going on? I was a bit asleep. I used the printer to wake me up to how intensely I am feeling right now. So I think your near-death experiences actually are a perfect example, Michael, because I think they are awakenings where you come back to reality, like an awakening that isn't a near-death experience, but in a way you are dying because the construct of everything that you perhaps once believed in changes. It doesn't mean it has to go away, but it means you perceive everything and engage with everything very, very differently, which is why many people come back from a near-death experience and they are grateful, they are happier. There's an actor who is called Jeremy Renner.
Okay.
And about a year and a half ago, I happened to see a clip of an interview with him, and it was a very short clip, but he'd had a very bad snowplow accident, like a snowmobile. What I remember is he'd pushed his nephew out of the way to save his life. And he had got mangled in this thing and, like, you know, almost died, was in hospital. And in this interview clip, they were asking him how he felt. Now he was back alive and he could have died. And they said he wasn't going to walk and all this stuff. And I loved it. He said, well, I can never have a bad day now. He said, I can never have a bad day now. He said, I'm alive.
All
and
the time.
I could be dead. And I thought that's so it. That's the gift of the near death.
Thank you. So this wasn't supposed to be at all about me, actually.
Well, actually, can I turn my attention to you?
Yeah, I'm like squirming in the hot seat here.
So, you know, we've done a few interviews together over the years. And so I was thinking about you this morning and I was thinking about the fact we had this afternoon. And I suddenly got this image or thought. I thought, oh, it's going to be a bit like a personal session for Michael, part of the interview. And then we came onto the call and you started talking about yourself and your personal journey. And you said something to me and I said, oh, it's funny you say that because I had this thought. So yeah. You've already kind of started the process for me, if I may, when you spoke about your near-death experiences. Okay. So I'm just going to riff a little and we'll see where we go. Because I think, Michael, the reason I think it's good that we do focus this on you is you are a representative of us, right? Of all the people who tune into you, who resonate with you, you are a representative of an aspect of us. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. So your near-death experiences have been really important for you because you are that weird gift of being relatably human and not human at all. You kind of are positioned in both places, which is very important for your role because you are here as a leader of consciousness. Of course, you're here as a student of consciousness too, like we all are, but you are a leader of consciousness in that there were three things that you came to this earth uniquely positioned to do. Number one was lead. You didn't necessarily feel that when you were younger, but actually your skill of observation, you were always, even though you had energy, you've always had energy and energy that you want to do stuff with. You've always been a keen observer and you've over the years, you have really developed the part of you that takes people and things in and digests them and lets them sit there for a long time. So you have a consideration in the way you see and perceive, which leaves a lot of room in the way that you have conversations with people, which makes it inviting for an audience, because it means an audience are not in a doctrine in any conversation with you. You're not trying to steer it in a certain direction, and you have developed the capacity to be curious. So your curiosity will put your guests or your conversation partners at ease, which will allow them to bring themselves forward, which will mean we get more nutrition in the conversation than if you were trying to tightly control it. So number one was your leadership. Number two is your curiosity. You are a very curious student of not even life, because you kind of already have figured that out. You already know what human life is. That was the first part of your journey. The first part of your journey was, well, what is this life? And I feel like you kind of got to the end of that road in some ways, maybe 6 years ago, but you really grounded that 2 to 3 years ago, where 2 to 3 years ago, you were finally in the, yeah, that's no longer the question for me. The question is now, how do we live well here? And how do we live well in these circumstances? So the second part was your curiosity, and that is still active for you, even though you have grown and changed with the world. Your audience have stayed with you, or, you know, I'm sure some have come and gone, but because you're growing with the times, and that leads us to the third piece. If we go back several lifetimes for you, Justice Warrior was a stronger energy in you than Pacifist. You developed Pacifist and Peacemaker in the last one or two recent lives. But before that, Justice Warrior was quite ferocious in you, which, by the way, doesn't make you any different to the rest of us. If we go back through some of our lives, we wouldn't necessarily recognize our personalities as now, but we might recognize an aspect. So, for example, I'm creative and healer. Those are two of my major archetypes on Earth and how I work. You could go back in my lifetimes and I could have been a really good creative, but not had any of the healing stuff going. That had to develop later. With you, this blend of justice advocate and peacemaker pacifist, those two were really important, so that this time, where we are right now in a period of history where we need to recognize injustice, not to blame, judge, or condemn, but to see it and be honest about it. Otherwise, how can we possibly transform it? And so the peacemaker and the pacifist in you is most dominant, because you know we're all going to die anyway. And you also know that at some point we're all going to die. And when we die, we are going to feel that peace of returning to connected union. You know that viscerally more than most, because you've tasted it and you've been there. So it actually enables the justice advocate for you to come forward at a time like this safely, because you're not going to batter anyone's door down with your goal for justice anymore, like you might have many lifetimes ago. Your ultimate goal is serving peace, but you also recognize that despite everything going on the planet that is going to stir all of us up, you know, we are going to get stirred up by any area of injustice we see in the world right now, not just because it's not just, but because it pertains to our history. So one of the things I remember with George Floyd and all of the people who were murdered around that time, it was around 2020, wasn't it? All of the racial murders
also
that we witnessed.
Also in Minneapolis.
And this is more recently, but I'm going back 5 years.
No, George Floyd, I believe, was Minneapolis or Minnesota as well.
Wow. Okay. Oh, well, that's not surprising in some ways. But what I remember about that time was what happened was a very big spotlight came on an area that had been actively part of our world for so long. And so when anything like that comes up for healing, yes, we have a present moment call to action, call to feeling, call to justice, but we also have this lineage history of healing that surfaces. It's why, you know, friends of mine, especially the friends of mine who were people of color, but even friends of mine who weren't people of color, the weight and the heaviness of this toxic racism in our society that has, you know, been there for forever, but in this case was particularly focused on what was happening, especially here in America, it really rose to the surface. And what's tricky about it when that happens is we do need a certain level of maturity to be able to process what we're feeling and at the same time stand back and see the bigger picture, which is why at the beginning you will get a lot of people having major emotional reactions and perhaps needing to thrash around. You know, I've been around people who are activated by crisis before, and the crisis first activates their fight or flight. And they want to accuse, they want to, and it's understandable. It's an understandable emotional reaction they're having. But what we actually need, and either we will all get there once we've gone through that round of emotion, or there will be people in each of those moments who will be able to completely empathize and have compassion for what you're feeling, because they also feel it too and they understand. But they can also go, okay, this is what we're feeling and these are the breaths that we need to take. And now we also need to stand back so that we don't get seduced into the chaos that has been created by this event that leads us into more division, blame, and attack. Because that is what has been weaponized against people. And what we're actually trying to break is the paradigm of that attack and that toxicity. So to bring it back to you, we've got leader, we've got curious, and we've got justice advocate, and we've got peacemaker. So these are three things that uniquely equip you for this time. Your head injuries have forced you to look after yourself in a way you had never looked after yourself before, and to stop you overworking in any of those areas if you became activated by what used to run through your system, which was you always wanted to help. Like many who probably tune in on this show, there is a desire to help, to see the world being a better place, to bring healing, to bring light, to bring joy. We all do it in different ways. But for you to not be able to run out into the storm at every opportunity you had, you decided to experience what it is to both have to deeply care for your body and repair your body, and have to somewhat limit the amount of time that you can engage with the nervous system of the world, not because you needed a break from it, but because it was going to make you more effective, actually. But also for you, you have used the near-death experience as a way of activating your own intuition and your own channeling abilities, which were already there, but boy, did they go to another level. Now, that's not always convenient when you're trying to remember something that, you know, the old you could remember like that. And that's frustrating because you think, well, why can't I fix this thing that I used to always be able to, I don't understand why my brain won't compute. And you could say, well, I don't really want to be forced out of things. And for you, what I sense very strongly is there is a permanent change to your wiring. Like, it's never going to be like it was, but you also wouldn't want it to be, because it's also not going to be the problem it has sometimes been. And what you are being asked by the universe to give yourself permission to do is to stand still. Now, here's the irony of that. You're not someone who's designed to stand still. You're someone who's designed to move. You generate kinetic energy through movement. And so for you, movement is staying alive. But that's why your greatest teacher through these head injuries and these impacts you've had that have put you into these moments has been that there needs to be a certain amount of stillness in order for you to really let your power come down and in and through. And so the other thing that's a kind of sub aspect here, not a dominant thing, but why it's been good for your audience to see you go through this is there is a lot of fear about the body on this planet that has been given to us. There is a lot of fear about things going wrong with our bodies that has been given to us because we have not been a healing solution society. You know, it's a wonderful thing we have modern medicine, because if, you know, if we'd broken our leg 300 years ago, we'd be in horrible pain and we might not survive. Now there are things that can help us with pain or with repair. But equally, there is a lot in the medicinal system that has been used to put people in a dependency. And case by case basis, you can't say this as a blanket statement. There are some people who need certain medicines and that's their truth. But there are others who have just had things hoisted on them rather than given an opportunity to heal in a different way. And so for you being out here and being public about what you've gone through, about you're still doing your life and figuring it out, it's actually an aspect of your warrior archetype, because we get to witness a warrior who's still here, still doing it, still showing up. And it's funny, I hear something above my head. Many years ago when I was struggling with my energy updates, my monthly energy updates, and thinking, should I stop doing them? Because I feel like I'm just kind of saying the same thing over and over again. This was like 2016. The Z's said to me, no, you mustn't stop. And you're not saying the same thing over and over again. And anyway, half of the point of your energy updates is not your information. It's the fact that they see that you're still here, you're still showing up, you're still alive, and you're still going through it with them, and it's your vibration. And I, you know, it made sense to me as soon as I heard it, but it took me some time to really let that in. It took me a few years to really perhaps just know that in my being, that our beingness has so much in it. So the warrior part of you is the part of you that's still showing up, still doing your work. And actually, what is the name of your podcast, Inspire Nation? It's very inspirational for your nation, the nation who gather around you, to see, wow, he's got head injuries and he's still here and he's telling us how he's getting through it and he's still showing up and he still looks like, I mean, yeah, there he was saying that was a bit tricky and yeah, that's a shame, that's hard. But he also still seems weirdly, wildly positive, and there's some other things. So you're a reminder to us that nothing is total. And yet sometimes in our society, we are told this is total. You know, I'll never forget the year of 2020, and I'll be mindful of words I use here, but I'll never forget the amount of fear mongering that was just going across the screen every single day with this death count. And I was like, this is ridiculous. It wasn't ridiculous. It was by design. It was by design. But it was a terrible message to be sending out to the world. It was not a healthy, conscious leadership. It was not what was needed. But of course, we understand why, and we know what was behind that agenda. So, but my point is, many are taught to live in fear of the worst. And you are an example of, oh, wow. These things are happening to Michael and he's still here and he's finding new ways to live and to get through it. I'm going to pause here to give you a chance to speak back to me if there's anything that you want me to go into more detail on or ask a specific question about. Go ahead.
The awkward pause and the laugh means I hadn't even thought. This is the one time where I had taken off the interviewer hat and I had not thought of asking any questions.
Keep going without your questions. Yeah, I mean, I wanted to give you an opportunity in case.
And definitely resilience is part of my theme. I have twin titanium femurs, twin titanium hips. You can flip me upside down. I'm a dowsing rod. But I had not thought of, let's just have you continue and see where you go. And hopefully that ties in everyone. A, this was unplanned. B, I hope you are finding this helpful, because I'm going to throw on my embarrassed hat, which says this is not about you can come to a live event, you can come to a class. There are other things that have more me. This was never intended to be about me. And it's not.
Yeah, no, it isn't. I think we're actually, my hope, you know, I did private sessions for 15 years until 2019, and it's the most intimate work. I loved it. I mean, I had to stop just because there were other, I needed to do group teaching and I couldn't do all of it. But I think we learn so much through each other's journeys, and so much is relatable. So let's come back to you for a second.
And I will add one thing, because I'm hearing my wife in my head. And so my wife would be saying, all right, that's great. Let's talk nuts and bolts. Is there a place that we're going to be settling down? Why does this keep occurring where we're doing this bounce? Are we supposed to stay the course with our work and how we're doing and who we're working with and all of these things? And we've had a history of miscarriages. Will there be another one coming to us? So if I was to put on her hat rather than my hat, I say that again. Oh, yeah. She just popped her head in the door and said, thank you.
Very good. Very good. Good partner. Good husband. Okay. So firstly, you are going to root, but you're not ready to root yet, Michael. It's you that has kept you guys up. And by the way, that's not wrong for your wife either. I'm sure that's caused her some pain at times. But it's not wrong for her. She knew what she was getting into when she married you. She knew she was not getting a life where she was going to sit still. And in fact, she loves that about you. Your kinetic energy is a driving force for her. And her grounding organizational energy is a beautiful aspect for you. And she's more than those things, but those are just the two things that kind of come up in this moment. You are going to stop. And you are going to root, but for you, Michael, you've needed a lot of movement to keep you. It's actually helped you to not be in the same place, given how much you've gone through in recent years, because it's allowed you to stay in here. It would have been very easy for you to get locked into outside things, and the job for you has been to really see everything as temporary. Which doesn't mean you have to live like someone who's always giving it away for the rest of your life, but you needed this period of time. Michael, for you, what I was about to go to, and this fits with one of your wife's questions, and I'll come to the other two. A year or two ago, you were quite disillusioned with your work. It didn't mean you were half-hearted, because you're always committed. So if you're going to show up for someone or for a conversation, you're going to give it your all. But you definitely had a period there of a year or 18 months where you were like, I don't quite know what I'm doing. But you knew to keep going. You knew to keep, okay, well, I'll just keep going and we'll see. Maybe the river's going to turn. It's really turning now. And you haven't felt this alive and energized about your work since the beginning. But it's in tandem with what's happening in the world. And so what I see for you and your wife, because the two of you are so closely connected, between December of this year, 2026, and April of 2027, is when you two are really going to land in many ways in your life. But you'll be grateful you didn't land before, because where you're going to land is going to be quite an upgrade from what you would have conceived would have been possible 2 years ago. And in order to get to that upgrade, you've had to shed, you've had to change, you've had to be adaptable, and you've got really good with each other. Even though there are occasional moments of friction, like there can be in any partnership where two people are having to navigate each other's desires and growth path together and apart and all of that. And, you know, especially when you've got little ones, and I know you have animals as well as, you know, as well as being parents. There are a lot of moving parts, but you will settle, but you're the one who's needed to be uprooted. It is a little distressing for her, because she is very good at pinning in things into the ground energetically. There are some people who are good at that. You know, they'll get to a place and they'll organize the home so that it has a nice feeling. I'm not sure whether she does it with interior decorating in that way, or whether it's an energy shamanic thing that she does. So for her,
if we were newer staying someplace, it would certainly be interior decorating. But there's an impermanence. So my apologies.
Yeah. So I was going to say for her, she's also had to break a pattern of hers, which would have been, I'm going to make this home, I'm going to root, and she can't. So she's also learning a different sense of internal stability. So there was the moving, miscarriages was the third. And what was the second question? Sorry.
Are we continuing on the same path? Are there big shifts? Are we still working with the people we're working with? What does this all look like?
You guys have had to be very, very careful around collaboration, because collaboration has burned you many times. And that's not necessarily because you're bad at choosing or anything like that. It's just collaborations have been anything from disappointing compared to what you were hoping they would be. That's like the easiest version, to distressing because of weird energetics between you and the other people that you didn't quite see coming or that you didn't anticipate. And both of you, how is she different? Both of you are quite pacifist peacemaker in the way you like to live. She is less trusting than you, which is a good thing. You are quick to trust, which sometimes means you will miss details that she would wait to see before she will trust. But both of you are heart people. So once you do connect your heart to someone, you're pretty total with it. And what has been a bit of a shock to both of you is you've tried to find those aligned tribes, people, or collaborators, because that is your truth, ultimately. Ultimately, you two are not going to be such an island. I know there are people that work with you now, but minimal. You're going to be in more of a, shall we say, system in the future. But this hasn't been the time, because the people who you're going to do that with haven't quite been ready. By the way, so many of us have not quite been ready for what we're going to be bringing to the world 2027 and beyond. There are so many people this year who are literally going through a process that will birth new earth experiences, events, situations, scenarios in 2027 and beyond. So no, you aren't going to be alone, but you're going to know more from about August of this year. You're going to understand more how you want to teach, how you want to share, and what your mission is when it comes to community organization and formation, which you've done a great job with so far. But you're aware that you need a bigger plant pot than the one that you're in. You just don't quite know how to make it happen. Part of the learning for both of you here, which is true for all of us, this is why this is also universal, not just about you. For all of us, it's being able to hold the vision that we can feel on our future timeline without thinking we have to force it now. Just because it pops in on a Thursday, it doesn't mean it's asking you to build it by Monday. It's just coming in to remind you, and it's just going, by the way, this thing that you're very focused on right now also is leading you to this, which will manifest in about a year or a year and a half. You don't have to do anything about it, but I want to bring it back to your attention so that you keep a wider view on your future timeline. That is the level of energetic telepathy, timeline seeing, and intuition that we are seeing normalize for more people on earth than ever before. The problem is, because we have been trained to be productive and we have been trained to not necessarily understand intuition or be invited to understand it, we tend to think we see a vision, that means I've got to do something about it, or I've got to make it happen. Or no, it often doesn't work that way. You will feel it through your body and it will flow when it's time. And this is also very true. The miscarriages. Well, firstly, I'm so sorry for both of you, because I know how hard that, from people around me who've had a lot of them, I know the pain or the grief and the energetic impact of a miscarriage. obviously for the mother, but also for the father. You know, there's this energy that you're beginning to gather around and you're beginning to be in communion with. And the Z's have said that the soul of a baby drops in sporadically in that first 3 months. It just kind of drops in just every now and then, hovers around, but doesn't live in the body until the baby starts to get bigger, and then it starts to land more in the body. And the Z's have said by about month 8 and month 9, the soul starts to settle into the body more and start to inhabit there a little more. It also wouldn't be good for the soul to be fully in that body while it's in gestation, because it would disturb the mother. So often the mother is communicating with the soul outside her body, even though she knows the body is in there, and there is a tether from the body to the soul. So she is connecting to the baby, but it's not actually happening in the in the stomach in that way, in the womb. For your wife, this got her in touch with grief of the ages and grief of the lineage of women and the lineage of ancestors. And she is actually herself going to step out even more overtly as a healer in the years to come. And the miscarriages have been part of her initiation around life and death and grief and loss. And the power of women is going to be something that she's going to really help other women with in the future. And usually we become powerful through power lessons and power learnings that weren't pleasant or weren't good or weren't easy for us. Your next child, I definitely see one, possibly two, but one is certain. There's possibly two. Yeah, it's really going to depend on your timing and your timeline, but your next child is a force of nature, like a force of nature. Your next child is going to make you look sedate, Michael.
Oh my God.
Yeah, exactly. So brace yourselves. So the reason the timing, it was so important for you as an existing family to find your place and to settle and to ground, and also for your wife, who again is all about rootedness and groundedness. This is not the kind of scenario she wants to be bringing the next baby into necessarily. You know, she's going to need it to be more solid, because her shamanic side requires solidity for birthing. So even though, as I said, this period that you guys have been in of this uncertainty and instability, it's been necessary and it's been a good rite of passage for her. And it's been very necessary for you while you were trying to rewire your body back into the human form. It's coming to an end, and it's coming to an end between August and December of this year. You guys, I do see you. I don't think you're going to feel settled until April of next year, but I think you're going to be settled in the place by December of this year. Okay. And it will then take you about 4 months for all of you to, you know, like anything, you move into a new place. It might feel great on day one, but you don't settle. You don't settle that day. That takes a little time, and that takes, when was the last miscarriage? How long ago?
This is going into my head injury. So July, August. I'm seeing if Jessica's going to August.
Because that child is waiting. That the soul of that child. So the soul of that child is not going anywhere. It's just waiting for the right moment to physicalize. That child is not lost. That child is still around you and your family, because that child is for you guys. And I don't mean this to sound, I have no interest in fluffing up the ego of your child or fluffing up your perception of your child, but this child is going to be like a hero. Like a hero.
We've already got a name for him. His name is Hero.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Okay.
You can't make this up. It's spelled H-I-R-O.
I'm getting the tingles.
H-I-R-O. But his name has been Hero.
So I was seeing That is perfect. I was seeing HERO because that is going to be the archetype, and not just because people will project that onto him because of his name.
That's why he was chosen, because we could feel that.
And he's definitely male. Like, if he isn't male in gender in this body, he's definitely more in the divine masculine. Like many brilliant children and children who are more crystalline or neurodivergent, which, a lot of people are going to be neurodivergent in the years to come just because of the way consciousness is going. And it won't be seen as a negative. It will be seen as a superpower. And I'm not speaking about the neurodivergence that creates disability for children. That's a different realm.
You mean wired differently?
Wired differently. Hero, like many gifted children, won't always love childhood, but as early as 16 will be evidently hugely impactful person for his community in the positive. So impactful in a very positive way. This is an old soul who has led armies and led kingdoms, and knows how to inspire large groups. So the timing for Hero has to be correct. And the most important thing for your wife is that she cares for and soothes her body as much as she can between now and the next pregnancy. It's the most important thing for her because her nervous system understandably has taken quite a hit through all of this. And she does, because she is a rooted, grounded type. Even though she has been a hero, keeping up with all this movement with you and the family, she really has. And she's really pushed herself. Like, to her credit, she has pushed herself as far as she can go, which is why it's good it's coming to an end. But it's also why her approach can now start to be, I don't need to keep pushing myself. This period is coming to an end. I will start restoring myself. I will start looking after myself. She wasn't looked after very well. She wasn't. Why is that? It's lifetimes for her. It's not even to do with her parents in this life. Lifetimes of being overlooked, or her needs being unseen or neglected by others to the point that she learned to minimize in this life and had to work hard to reverse that. And she's still working on that. Because she doesn't have an egoic need to be seen. But it can actually be dangerous for all of us if we have learned to be invisible. Because if no one else is tracking that, people aren't going to do things in the room that you're in that help or keep you safe, help you feel safe or keep you safe. So she's actually had to learn to stand up for herself a bit. Her fierceness is an important aspect of her personality she has needed to reclaim. You make that very safe for her because she knows she is safe with you, that she can bring out her fierceness and you're never going to stop loving her. You might sometimes say, oh, that bruised a little. And then she'll go, oh, okay, next time I'll turn the fire hose down a little bit so he doesn't get shot completely across the room. But at the same time, you have been a safe space for her to find her fire again. And to find her, I want to say her power, because I feel like your wife is powerful and many wanted to harness or use that power for their own gain. They didn't necessarily respect her power or think that they couldn't just take what they wanted. And she's had many lifetimes of that, by the way. So any lessons she had around that in this life, they were a hangover. And this is the life where she cleans it up. And one of the reasons that you were so good for her at the beginning of the relationship is because you are like, who's that guy in mythology who has the wings on his feet? One of the
You mean
gods
the
has
when
the.
Nike? Well, it comes to the term Nike comes from that. So,
He's a
Pegasus? No.
It's, I don't think it's Pegasus, but there's now loads of people watching this going, shouting the name at us and we don't know. Sorry, everybody. Forgive her. I can't get hold of it, but it's not Artemis. It's, I don't know. It's the one who has wings on his feet so that he can fly. That's you, Michael. So when she first met you, Hermes, thank you. You brought the magical, the poetic, and the adventure back into her life. And what she brought for you was the safety of love, true love. You knew that she loved you. You were not used to that feeling at all. You were used to loving, but you knew that she really loved you, even to the point that she would call you out on some stuff. But you knew that she was calling you out on stuff in a loving way. And you're very good. You're what she appreciates about you. You're very gentle and tender with her rough edges. So when her rough edges come out, you've never shamed or belittled her, which is what she's known before. You've actually been a safe space for those kinds of conversations. So you two are very powerful together. And actually, the reason you two needed this time was to continue to get solid as a two before you brought in other collaborators with the work. So that kind of brings us back to another one of your questions. But I think I've covered all three now.
I think so. And I'm feeling very like I want to, can we jump if it's okay with you? And you've been spot on in so many things. In fact, we wrote a bestseller together on barefoot running, which was me running barefoot to heal. I actually thought of writing a book years ago called In God's Shoes, which is about running barefoot and connecting to the earth and flying on your feet. So you hit on so many things, but we have such little time left for this. This is going to have to be a to be continued with your blessings. But can we go to the Z's real briefly and see what they have to say about anything for people today?
Sure. Perfect. Let's do that. Good. Well, you were addressing the state of the world, the two of you before, and you were speaking to people about this period of time. We will give you a way of looking at this period of time. Think of being in an elevator and you are moving from the basement to the penthouse, the top floor.
Oh, you are frozen. You are frozen. You have frozen. Is it me? Is it...
A few moments later.
And of able health, there is a temptation for you to, shall we say, think you have to engage with everything. And what we are reminding you is that you are engaged with everything, but it doesn't mean you have to look like you are or behave like you are. There is an experience that many of you are now beginning to tap into that relates to your inner being on earth and how it is experiencing the energetics of everything. And that is what is important and where your focus needs to be for now. Good, in peace and in love to all.
I don't know how to say this. The universe is a trickster. I caught the first two words and the last 10 words of the channeling. And in between, the internet went down. And I'm actually piggybacking off of, I've never experienced this, piggybacking off of my phone at the moment.
Well, you know what's funny about that, Michael, because I know we only have a few more minutes of linear time today because of things that are organized in our days around this. When you said, let's go to the Z's, I was surprised, not because that isn't our normal pattern, but because we had actually gone somewhere else and we'd spent our time somewhere else. So perhaps a 5-minute message from the Z's wasn't required after all. So maybe you're going to, I don't know, do an edit or something that kind of covers us.
Do you recall what the Z's say when you hear it from the Z's?
Some parts, some sentences, but the thrust of what we just heard from my interpretation, they were reminding all of us, and I also take this message on board, is that while we go through these massive waves of transformation on Earth, there are going to be certain days, moments, things we are supposed to engage with, and there will be other days, moments, things we are not. The world at large, and I've seen a lot of people screaming this lately, might say, you need to be engaged with everything. You know, there might be a level of fight or flight going on in some people that might not be true for you. And what the Z's were saying was you need to know what day you are supposed to be in your inner being, and you're still in relationship to everything that's going on the planet, and what days you can take true feelings of your inner being that want to engage with something in the outside world. So there are various crises going on every month. There will be some crises that are more personal for you than others. There will be some crises you feel you can help more than others. And you have to understand that the amount that we're exposed to is more than most of us can handle. So it's not a failing if you can't rush to everything. And actually the opposite is true.
Thank you. So where can people go, Lee, to find your work, to find out more?
The ethos. No, that was a joke.
You're on today.
So my website is leeharrisenergy.com. And we also create healing music at leeharrismusic.com. Myself and Devor Bozique, we create 528 hertz songs and mantras and affirmation music, which is a great way to reset your nervous system. And all of it's available on streaming, so you can, you know, freely stream any of that music. And then, you know, the YouTube channel is probably where most people have found me, Lee Harris Energy on YouTube, where I do my monthly updates and Scandinavia.
Are we supposed to still travel around in RV? We're in RV hiatus.
Yeah, no, that season is coming to an end. You might occasionally take an RV trip for memory lane, but no, you are coming to, I'm happy to report that you guys are coming to an end with that.
Thank you. So I've got an app right next to me called Simply Piano. I'm teaching my daughter piano, which means I'm relearning piano because music feels so important and healing, I believe, for all of us at this time.
Yeah, I it's so true. And, you know, music has been a healer for me since day one, before I even knew what healing was. So it was my first experience of healing and remains that way.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much. This is the interview that I'm fairly speechless, and Jessica's going to have 1,000 questions for me as soon as we're done. Did you ask about this? Did you ask about that? I didn't catch everything about this. I believe for everyone, if you go back and listen and take Jessica and I out of what you're listening to, I believe the messages are for all of us.
Yeah, there's that great phrase, isn't there? There's only one of us here. So please tell Jessica from me that I think she is a hero.
Thank you so, so much, Lee.
Thank you, Michael.
I wordless, speechless, don't know what to say, wouldn't. Yeah. And on that note. Thank you.
That's Full of Love from John Alderney. That's from the album Waiting for the Moon. Now, this is Pam Gregory. She's talking to Janneke. And what they're talking about is the massive shifts that are coming in this year, 2026.
What are the planetary alignments and shifts that are influencing humanity right now, this year, and a bit onwards?
Wow. Wow. Big. Okay, where do we start? Okay, so the one that's coming up quite soon is on the 20th of February, because this is, you know, very close indeed. And these two planets, Saturn and Neptune, come together reliably about every 36 years. The last time they came together was in 1989, and they are very much about dissolving the old order. They're very connected to Russian history, actually. Because if you go back in Russian history, there was a Saturn-Neptune conjunction in 1917, which was the Russian Revolution, another one in 1952 to 53, birth of Putin, death of Stalin, another one in 1989, and that was in Capricorn, which is to do the sign that Saturn rules, which is to do with walls and borders and boundaries. That was the collapse of the Berlin Wall. I mean, it couldn't be more literal, November 1989. And that was the beginning of the end of the Soviet Union. So every time we have a Saturn-Neptune conjunction, there is a redefinition of Russia in some way. So it's going to be very interesting this year with whatever happens with any peace deal, who knows what's going to happen. I haven't looked into that closely, but what I do know reliably, if we go back, and I can go back even further than that, you know, into the 1800s, there is always a redefinition of Russia in some way, of territory very often. Okay. And certainly authority figures as well. So that's, you know, going to be fascinating to watch. So that happens very reliably every 36 years. It's very often to do with the dissolution, Neptune, of the old order, Saturn. But this year, it's happening on the 20th of February. It's a one-hit deal. It's not going to happen again. It got very close last summer, Northern Hemisphere. But it's going to happen at 0:44 of Aries. It hasn't happened at 0 of Aries since 4361 BC. I want to credit my very good friend Heather Ensworth for finding that in her research. Hasn't happened at 0 of Aries for almost 6,000 years. So this is pure potentiality, the very first degree of the zodiac. And so this is incredibly exciting in terms of birthing a new order, a whole new civilization. I believe that we are birthing the beginning of a new galactic society and a galactic civilization starting in 2026. And so that's going to be very powerful around new beginnings. That's going to be very powerful for people individually. So please, everybody out there, particularly if you have anything between 0 and 2 degrees of the cardinal signs, Aries, Cancer, Libra, Capricorn, you are going to have a particularly strong sense of a new beginning. But it's for everybody, actually. What new relationship, passion, home, job, geography, you know, what's calling you that could be really new. So that's one very big deal. And it will accelerate the collapse of the old order. Saturn is the old order. It will do many, many other things as well. It's going to be a reality check on lies and deceits. And, you know, many, many truths are going to come to light in a pretty dramatic way. And that's going to start, I think, in February as well. And it's going to come in waves through this year. And so we are going to see the accelerated collapse of the old order, but more green shoots of this new consciousness coming through as well. So that's happening. And it's a big deal, you know, because it's so rare. Rarity gives potency. What we also have is very strong Uranian energy. And that's to do with the increased seismic activity, a lot of extreme weather and earth events. I think they will continue through 2026 because Gaia is going through shedding millions of years of trauma and going through her own rebirth. And we're in symbiosis with that. And so we have some real peak points with Uranus going through this year. If we look at 3 days before that Saturn-Neptune conjunction, we have a very powerful solar eclipse at 28 of Aquarius that is square to Uranus. I think that could be very eruptive, disruptive, shocking, a lot of truths coming to light, could be big seismic activity, and it could be seismic literally with earthquakes, it could be seismic politically, financially, a big truth coming to light, a big rattling of the old order, a lot of disclosure. It's going to be a lot of disclosure coming this year because so much to talk about here. Because we had a particular conjunction in 1993, which began the disclosure project of Dr. Stephen Greer. The next step in that configuration is happening this year, exact in July, in fact. We also have a very strong Uranus aspect in June, and I think that will be another wave of mass awakening, a massive one in July. And actually, if I can just hop back to April, April is a massive month of new beginnings for people. I don't think in my career, seen so many planets in Aries. If we incorporate Chiron and the dwarf planets, I think we have 8 orbiting bodies in Aries in April. That is just off the map in terms of initiation, ignition, new beginnings. I think we're going to see a huge wave of cosmic energy coming in to the Earth at that time. And through this year, I'm sorry, this is going to be a terribly long answer,
Janica. No, I love it. I'm so intrigued.
Okay. Dr. David Clements, who's a dear friend of mine, has talked about 6 or 7 waves of kind of evolutionary energy coming into the Earth in 2026 to awaken mankind. I don't know if the waves that he's anticipating and seeing correlate with the probability peaks astrologically that I'm seeing, but I'm seeing some real peaks. February, March and April, you know, Aries equinox, then massive lineup in Aries in April, a big wave of energy that I think coming in. June is very big. July is huge. So just to explain July, we have a unique astrological configuration, which I don't believe has ever happened in history before. And no astrologer has found a time in history when this has occurred. So this is a trine, 120 degree between Uranus and Pluto. And in the midpoint of that is Neptune. And it's completely symmetrical. And it becomes perfectly symmetrical in July, round about the 18th to the 20th of July, exactly. But we're going to feel it, you know, right through the middle of this year. And so each of those planets is at 4 degrees of their sign. Pluto's at 4 degrees of Aquarius, Uranus is at 4 degrees of Gemini, Neptune's at 4 degrees of Aries. You have perfect symmetry. And so if I look back to the seed points of you, the seed points of any aspect is when two planets came together in conjunction. Okay. So for instance, the last time that the Uranus-Pluto conjunction happened was in 1965, 1966. So that was a time which was, the time of the hippies and, you know, strong wave of love and peace and living in community and protests against war and a lot of demonstrations to demand more equality in society, whether that was coming from women or the Black Power movement or gay, you know, gay people's rights, whatever. There was a greater demand for equality and people living together in peace and growing food together. So that was the seed point for what is now blossoming this year, particularly in the middle of the year. You also had a conjunction between Neptune and Pluto back. The seed point was 1891 to 1993. 1891 to 1993. That was the birth of quantum physics, where Max Planck made the first association between matter and consciousness, that matter is derived from consciousness, but consciousness is primary. We have another step happening in that coming up this year as well. So we are going to discover a huge amount about the nature of consciousness and the nature of reality, partly because Uranus, Pluto is in Aquarius and Uranus is in Gemini, reinforcing those themes. Huge about divinity, consciousness, how we create our reality, etc. You also had, let me just think what I've missed. You also had, yes, which I've mentioned before, a conjunction between Uranus and Neptune in 1993, as well as Dr. Stephen Greer's disclosure project about galactic beings. You had the birth of the internet, the World Wide Web at that time, the internet becoming, you know, much more commonly used by the public. There's going to be another jump in all of that, mass communications, to a much higher level, telepathy coming in much more fully. You know, it's going to be mass. It's just going to be so many developments in new forms of transport. I think we could see anti-gravity transport coming in. I think we could see flying cars. I think we could see more public transport, which is to do with magnetics, which is very quiet and clean. And I think South Korea is developing this at the moment, where it's beautiful. They have these kind of trains that run above the ground, the same level as the cherry blossom. And then they come down to pick up people and then they go back, you know, to sort of tree level. And that's in development right now. And I believe it works on magnetics, you know, reversing the magnetic poles so the, you know, it can rise above the ground. So we're going to see incredible developments around free energy. Using magnetism is going to become a much bigger deal. By the end of 2026, even by then, our world is going to look very different from how it looks now. Society is going to look very different. And, you know, that's incredible because in general, the lives we've lived, it's been pretty predictable. You know where you're going to be at the end of a year, you're planning to go to college or buy a house. You know, it's been pretty predictable. We're going to be making huge jumps this year, which are very accelerated compared to how we've lived our lives in the past.
Voice Within, your connection between this world and the next. Brought to you by Infinity Spiritual Center, 550 Anglesey Street, Hamilton.
This week at Infinity on Saturday, Stacey's running her beginner's tarot. So if you want to come and learn about tarot, anything about tarot, get on the website, sign up, and come and see us on Saturday, the 21st. I am Barry, it's been The Voice Within. Kakite, Shalom, Namaste, Masalam. May your God go with you.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.